As California's drought continues to raise awareness about the importance of conservation, recycled water is getting a lot more attention. In California, only a quarter of wastewater is treated, recycled, and reused. 3 million acre-feet of treated wastewater is discharged into the ocean every year. That could provide water for 9 million families. So what will it take for cities to treat and use more wastewater? Well, it'll take more money and a change in public perception. Proponents call it water recycling. Opponents call it toilet to tap. What questions do you have about recycled water and its future in California? Join us after the news. Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. When you flush your toilet, brush your teeth, or wash dishes in the sink, all of that water goes down the drain and into the sewer system. If you live in San Francisco, that water heads to two treatment plants located in the eastern and western parts of the city. That treated wastewater is then discharged into the bay or the ocean. That is a river of water that could be treated, recycled, and reused, say today's guests. In California, only a quarter of wastewater is treated, recycled, and reused. 3 million acre-feet of treated wastewater is discharged into the ocean every year. That water could provide water for 9 million families. 9 million families. According to the Pacific Institute, recycled water is most commonly used to water farms. Currently, farmers in California use about 250,000 acre-feet of recycled water every year. Treated wastewater is also used for groundwater recharge, environmental uses, industrial uses, and landscape irrigation. And as the drought continues, recycled water is getting a lot more attention. It's expected to be a significant future source for landscaping and drinking. So on today's Your Call, we continue our week-long series on solutions to California's drought by talking about recycling and reusing wastewater. What questions do you have about water reuse? Why aren't we using more of it? And what is the future of recycled water in California? Today, I'm joined by Baman Sheikh. He's a water resources and reuse specialist with over 30 years of experience. Baman provides consulting services to public and private clients for water recycling projects here in California and 20 countries around the globe. He served as board member of the Water Reuse Association and Water Reuse Research Foundation. He's also a fellow at the Center for Integrated Water Research at UC Santa Cruz. And Baman Sheikh joins me in studio. Hi, thank you for coming in.
Hi, Rose.
Great to have you.
Glad to be here.
We're also joined by Eric Rosenblum, an environmental engineer specializing in water resource management and wastewater treatment. Eric was program director of South Bay Recycling, where he directed the construction and operation of Northern California's largest urban non-potable water treatment and distribution system. Eric currently serves as CEO of EnviroSpectives, a Silicon Valley startup providing online access to environmental information. And Eric joins us from the studios of the Radio Arts Foundation in New York. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. So, Baman, I want to start off with you. Thank you for sending us these stats. We've done a bunch of shows about water, and I have never heard the statistic that you sent us, these numbers. 3 million acre-feet of treated wastewater is discharged into the ocean every year. This is water that could be recycled, and it could provide water for 9 million families in California.
That's right. By some estimates, it could be as high as 3.5 million acre-feet per year. And each acre foot can supply three families in Northern California for a year. So that is, you're right, over 9 million families could be supplied with that water if it were all recycled and put to beneficial use.
And is this water, the water that we use on a regular basis, toilet water, brushing our teeth, washing the dishes, is that the water we're talking about?
All the water, all the wastewater that goes into the sewer system, yes.
And so why is it that California only treats, recycles, and reuses a quarter of wastewater?
Well, it's not an easy project to implement. it takes a lot of political will, public acceptance, and money to start a project. Eric will tell you what it took to implement the largest project in Northern California, in San Jose, which he practically single-handedly implemented. Normally, you have to overcome a great deal of resistance on the part of the public or the customers that would be using recycled water. For example, farmers, when they were initially asked to use recycled water instead of river water or other sources, they balked. They were afraid that their products wouldn't sell to the public. They were afraid that the recycled water would harm their soils and would somehow not produce the same yields that they are accustomed to. And they were afraid of potential health effects because it was an unknown. It's a new thing. New things are always scary. So convincing the public, the customer, that it's a good thing is the biggest obstacle. The next obstacle is, of course, the will, the political will of the entities, agencies that would implement the projects. And finally, bringing the finances together to make it feasible.
And we'll talk about all three of those throughout the show. But Eric, what are your thoughts on how water is recycled in California? Why is the number so low? Is it basically because it's so expensive? Political will and public perception?
Well, first off, I hate to disagree with my esteemed colleague, but no one can implement a citywide water recycling program single-handedly. In fact, the very nature of the project is that it requires intense cooperation between a number of government agencies and nonprofit groups. And in fact, I would say that's probably the main difficulty that has to be overcome in order to reuse more water, specifically that we're really not set up to manage water in an integrated manner. We have, instead, we have water companies, we have wastewater agencies, we have flood control districts. They all have their own boards and budgets and their own goals. And the nature of water recycling is to get all of these groups working together to look at water as one integrated resource.
So tell us about what you did in San Jose, or what you and your colleagues and government officials and advocates did in San Jose.
Thank you for correcting that. Well, this program had a long history in Silicon Valley. To be honest, the first discussions of using recycled water in Santa Clara County were as early as 1978, when it was actually a requirement by the federal government. The Bureau of Reclamation was funding what came to be known as the Santa Teresa Pipeline. It was a water supply pipeline that was going to cost the neighborhood of $150 million. So way back then, the U.S. government said, well, look at alternatives. That's a requirement of the Environmental Policy Act. So in doing so, they looked at water recycling and, in fact, determined that it was a feasible alternative, but it wasn't the one they were looking for. It was quite contentious politically, but the water district in Santa Clara at that time decided to go forward with bringing the new water supply from the State Water Project and the Central Valley Project into the area. And ever since then, for the next 25 years, the community, for various reasons, looked at reusing the water and finding it was just too expensive for any one agency to do. And fortunately, after many years of working together, I think it was only about four or five years ago that the Santa Clara Valley Water District and the City of San Jose signed a 40-year agreement to work together to make the most of their water supply.
And so talk a little bit about the changes that you saw. And I mean, how did you all work on this in terms of, you know, ensuring that you got the political will and that you were able to get public support for it?
Well, I think in summary, what happened was that it's been some 50 years, really. I hate to get so historical, but we've been doing water recycling in California for quite a long time, half a century. It started in Southern California. There were various reasons why it did, mostly having to do with reducing the size of wastewater pipes by reusing the water in a more local fashion. And then, of course, Orange County started their Water Factory 21, the early investigations into potable reuse. So by the time it came, it was our community's turn to consider it seriously. A number of things had already happened. One is that we had upgraded our wastewater plant to the point that the water was virtually at the quality where it could be freely reused. And so having already put the investment into wastewater treatment, there wasn't a lot of additional treatment required. Then again, it was just happenstance that the time where we had to consider finding alternatives to discharge coincided with a drought that extended from about 1986 to 1992. And again, it never fails. And I think Steinbeck was famous for quoting this in East of Eden, that when during the wet years, people don't remember the dry years. During the dry years, people don't remember the wet years. And so during this drought, it became very obvious to everyone, from the politicians to the taxpayers, that it didn't make sense to throw the water away. And so we invested in the first phase of South Bay Water Recycling, which was about $140 million to reuse about 10 million gallons a day. And we've almost doubled that amount in the last 15 years. So now the system, I understand, serves over 600 customers and during the summer can provide up to 30 million gallons a day of recycled water.
Wow. And Bauman, where are we in terms of policies that have passed in California? Before the show, you mentioned Prop 1, which is going to infuse a lot of money into these projects. And then in October of 2013, Governor Brown signed a bill that requires state health and water officials to report by September of 2016 on the feasibility of developing standards for recycling wastewater for potable reuse. That means that wastewater would flow straight to household faucets. So we're seeing a lot of changes right now.
A lot of changes have happened. That's true. The State Water Resources Control Board has a water recycling policy. The one that you mentioned about direct potable reuse is moving forward quite rapidly. There's a Blue Ribbon Committee that's looking at the research needs to satisfy the public health authorities about the reliability of a direct potable reuse project that would guarantee health and safety for the folks. And, of course, the Proposition 1 money, $625 million, specifically for recycled water earmarked, of which $283 million have been appropriated for this fiscal year. And already 40 agencies have applied for that. So that money is going to go rapidly, and we're going to need more appropriations in the near future. And so I think these policies have certainly helped move forward the needle.
And so $285 million has already been appropriated. What changes will we see? And where? It's such a huge state. Where is this money going?
I think it's pretty well distributed throughout the state. Some of the projects I'm familiar with include a project in Monterey, for example, to put recycled water into the seaside basin for recharging, replenishing the aquifer there to basically stop use of water from Carmel River, which is an environment that has been damaged as a result of all the withdrawals in the past. And there's a cease and desist order to stop taking water from that by the end of 2017, I believe. That's one project that I'm quite familiar with. There are other projects in Southern California that are moving forward because of this availability.
That is Bauman Shaikh. He's a water resource and reuse specialist with over 30 years of experience. He's a fellow at the Center for Integrated Water Research at UC Santa Cruz. Eric Rosenblum is an environmental engineer. He's CEO of Enviro-spectives, a Silicon Valley startup providing online access to environmental information. Today, we are continuing our week-long series on solutions to the water crisis in California by talking about recycled water. In California, only a quarter of wastewater is treated, recycled, and reused. If the state reused the 3 million acre-feet of wastewater that's discharged into the ocean every year, it could provide water for 9 million families. So what questions do you have about recycled water? As we're hearing, it's expensive. There's also public perception issues. Proponents say it's water recycling. Opponents call it toilet to tap. So what questions do you have about that? Have your thoughts about recycled water changed because of the drought? It's getting so much more attention now. What concerns do you have about using treated sewage water to irrigate crops or use it as drinking water? And then if your city uses recycled water, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. And also if you work on these issues, give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. So let's follow the water. So right now, if you flush your toilet, brush your teeth, or wash your dishes, if you live in San Francisco, that water goes to two treatment plants, and then it's discharged into the ocean. Bauman, if we recycled that water, how would that process change?
Well, right now, the environmental regulations require secondary and disinfection and removal of disinfectant residuals before discharge into the bay or to the ocean. Now, to recycle the water, we have to go one step further. We have to provide filtration and disinfection beyond the secondary treatment, and that's called tertiary treated recycled water that is allowed to be used for 43 specifically allowed uses in California. And these include irrigation uses, industrial uses, all non-potable uses that you can possibly imagine, including irrigation of vegetables that are eaten raw. If we want to go even further and provide recycled water for drinking, unlimited, unrestricted uses, then we have to go even one step further than that. And that includes reverse osmosis, advanced oxidation, ultraviolet irradiation, and then the water is as pure as distilled water, purer than any water that nature can provide anywhere.
And the treatment plants that are currently in San Francisco, for example, do they have the capacity to do all of this, or would we need new plants?
We would need new additional processes in the treatment plants to get it to that level. Right now, they produce secondary effluent for discharge to the bay or to the ocean. And there are plans in the next 5 to 10 years will provide the additional tertiary treated recycled water that could be used, for example, for irrigation of Golden Gate Park and Lincoln Park and other places.
And Eric, what would you add about public perception and, you know, the conversation state officials need to have with the public about the potential of drinking wastewater, treated wastewater, I should say?
Well, that right there is, I think, probably the key issue is for people to understand that, first of all water is used. There isn't a whole lot of new water being made on the planet at any one time. And secondly, that when we talk about water reuse, we're not talking about drinking wastewater. We're talking about taking wastewater and ensuring that the quality of the treated water is such that everyone would be able to drink it without compromising their health. And in fact, as Bauman said, where it could actually be cleaner than the water they're drinking now. So I think appreciating and understanding the use of technology, it's kind of funny. I mean, nobody would think of picking up a Coke can on the street and drinking out of it. But nobody has a problem with taking that Coke can to a recycling center, having it melted down, made into a new can, and then drinking a soft drink or water out of it. Mm. And it's the same thing with water. We take it, we treat it, we reuse it. I think in Silicon Valley, there's maybe a bit of an edge. We're used to embracing each new technological leap to improve our lives. So I think that idea is getting across. Certainly down in Orange County, they spend a tremendous amount of time working with their communities to help them understand the value of what was being done with their money and why it was a good thing for them to have this water supply. I think that message is getting easier to convey when we hear more about the decreasing snowpack in the Sierras and the lack of other available resources.
It's interesting you bring up Coke because people also don't think twice about drinking bottled water, not knowing where that water came from or if it sat in the heat in the plastic bottle.
Some bottled waters are not as good quality as the water we get from the tap.
Right.
In most California cities.
Well, we've got a number of callers on the line. Let's go to David in San Francisco. Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. Does anybody there know that the oil refineries in California use 94 million gallons of fresh water each day in their processing?
Each day?
Each day, and they have the option of using recycled water. However, they refuse to do so. They will not take that option.
Let me chime in on that, if I may. I work with a lot of industrial customers. In fact, it's been my privilege for the last few years to chair a committee on industrial reuse with the Water Reuse Association. And I know that a number of the larger refineries, Chevron comes to mind, BP, actually do use recycled water. And many of them, especially in Southern California, have worked very closely with their water agencies to make sure that they have recycled water as their primary source of water. The same thing is true of the Delta Diablo here up in Northern California, where I misspoke. It was the Chevron refinery in East Bay Mud, where they directly use water from East Bay, wastewater treated from the Oakland area, and use it for the refining as well as for all types of high purity use.
I was just looking this up. Mother Jones did an investigation about that and has been reporting that 94 million gallons of water every day number. And so did you say, is that most of that recycled water?
Well, my point simply to the caller, and I don't disagree that there is a lot of water used in refining oil. And I think there are certainly opportunities to use recycled water in those applications. Industrial applications are some of the best uses of non-potable water. I guess the point is simply that while there may be some oil refineries that prefer not to use the recycled water, the ones that I'm familiar with have all embraced that and, in fact, find that a preferable resource for a number of reasons, one of which is the quality in some cases is more stable.
Mm. According to this piece, you've got Chevron, Tesoro, Phillips, Valero, Shell, and Exxon using 94 million gallons of water per day in California. What are your thoughts on that, Bauman?
Well, resistance to using recycled water is not peculiar to industry. Agriculture resists initially, industry resists, and people will resist to drinking recycled water initially. It takes knowledge, it takes information, it takes a lot of public outreach, the way that, as Eric mentioned, Orange County Water District did. They spent millions of dollars in public outreach, going to opinion leaders in the community, going to churches, going to various other community groups, and basically educating them about how pure this water is, how much better it is than the water that they already were using before they were convinced to do it. The same thing happened in Monterey before 12,000 acres of vegetables were brought under irrigation with recycled water. Initially, the farmer said, heck no. We don't know what this is going to do to our soil and to our crops and to our sales. But they were convinced eventually. And, of course, seawater intrusion and lack of other water sources helped push them to decide to take it.
And we're now learning, and I'd love to find out if you both have studied this at all, but farms are now using oil extraction wastewater to, you know, water their crops. This is just getting a little bit of attention in the last couple of months. Have either of you followed this?
I have heard about it. Don't think it's a very significant amount of water. And in many cases, the water has very, very high salt levels. Removing salt levels from fracking wastewater is just as difficult, almost as difficult, as removing salt from the ocean water.
Eric, according to the LA Times, Chevron recycles 21 million gallons of water every day and then sells it to farmers who use it on about 45,000 acres of crops, or 10% of the farmland in the Central Valley, Kern County. Have you read about this? And what are your thoughts on that?
I haven't. I have some familiarity with the reuse of water from fracking. The general nature of that project is that these wells are often quite far from urban areas, so they're not really candidates for receiving treated wastewater from cities. The pipelines would be quite long. And there are not a lot of urban uses like parks or other industries nearby where they could transport their water for reuse. So the only option really is some type of agricultural reuse. As Bauman says, it's always a question of matching the quality to the end use.
It also speaks to the desperation of farmers, right, and their need for water. I mean, I don't know if they've turned to oil wastewater in the past, but I have not seen these headlines in the past. Do either of you know?
Well, one would imagine that just as some industrial or some industry managers would prefer their known supplies to recycled water, I'm sure many farmers would rather have a supply they're familiar with than something that they're not.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll take more calls right after the break. Today, we're talking about recycled water. We're continuing our series on California's water crisis. We're specifically talking about solutions. In California, only a quarter of wastewater is treated, recycled, and reused, mainly because of public perception, political will, and cost. And we'll talk about what it will take to change that. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Your Call on Local Public Radio. To join in today's conversation, the toll-free number is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. If you'd prefer to write rather than call, the email address is feedback@yourcallradio.org. If you'd just like to leave a comment, that's the place to go as well, yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11 o'clock, World Have Your Say from the BBC. At noon today, it's Ira Glass and This American Life. Snap Judgment with Glenn Washington follows that at 1. And then at 2, a full hour of news headlines and analysis from the BBC on NewsHour.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation about how the meat and dairy industries are affecting California's water supply. According to the Pacific Institute, meat and dairy make up about 47% of California's water footprint. California Governor Jerry Brown recently said we should eat more veggie burgers. So what if we ate more veggie burgers instead of hamburgers? And does it make sense for California to be the nation's largest dairy state? That's tomorrow. And then Friday, it's our media roundtable, and we'll be discussing media coverage of California's drought and the water crisis. Today, we are talking about recycling water. In California, only a quarter of wastewater is treated, recycled, and reused. 3 million acre feet of treated wastewater is discharged into the ocean. That could be recycled and could provide water for 9 million families in California. So what questions do you have about recycled water? What are your thoughts about public perception? Opponents say it's water recycling, or proponents say it's water recycling. Some opponents are concerned and call it toilet to tap. So would you drink water that's been treated, wastewater that's been treated? What are your thoughts? What questions do you have? 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you work with recycled water, we'd love to hear from you. And if your city uses recycled water, you can give us a call or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today we're joined by Bonham Shake. He's a water resource and reuse specialist with over 30 years of experience. He provides consulting on these issues to California and 20 countries around the globe. He is fellow at the Center for Integrated Water Research at UC Santa Cruz. Eric Rosenblum is an environmental engineer specializing in water resource management. He was program director of the South Bay Water Recycling, where he directed the design and construction of Northern California's largest urban non-potable water treatment and distribution system. And now I would like to welcome Stephen Ritchie to the show. Stephen is assistant general manager of Water Enterprise. It's responsible for overseeing water system operations and planning for the Hetch Hetchy Regional Water System, which is operated by the San Francisco PUC. The system serves 2.6 million residents throughout four Bay Area counties. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be on. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello, Steve.
Well, it's great to have you, Steve. So we were talking just earlier about recycled water, you know, why only a quarter of wastewater is recycled in California. We're seeing a lot of changes right now with Prop 1. $283 million has already been appropriated for recycled water. What are your thoughts about the changes that we're going to see in California in the coming years?
Well, I definitely see that we'll be doing more water recycling throughout California. And as probably been discussed, we are probably moving closer and closer to reuse of that water for potable purposes, either on an indirect basis or ultimately, what we call direct potable reuse, where that wastewater will be treated. I think I saw a quote from somebody about we'll be treating it in ways that nature normally does, just much faster in a facility, and put it actually directly back into the drinking water system.
And how do you see this rolling out? I mean, do you think it's going to be you know, in terms of statewide, because the state is so big, there's public perception issues, there's financial issues. How do you see that playing out?
Well, you know, we're in a severe drought. There's no doubt about that. This is one of the worst droughts we've ever seen. Next year could be just as bad, despite the comments about El Nino, and it could extend for several more years.
Right.
So we're going to have to get really creative and energetic about how we meet the demands for water in the state. And wastewater is a huge resource that we are going to have to take advantage of.
And then in the case of Hetch Hetchy, we're so lucky to live in San Francisco because the water is delicious and amazing quality. And according to reports, the Chronicle has a report about adding a little bit of groundwater to our Hetch Hetchy water. Can you give us an update on that?
Sure. On the west side of San Francisco, there's a small groundwater basin that produces high-quality water. We used to use it before we got the Hetch Hetchy supply, but we've learned over time that there's strength in diversifying your supplies. So we are currently constructing four new wells in the west side of San Francisco to add water to our supply here to join with the Hetch Hetchy water as part of a stronger supply that we can enjoy in the future. In addition, we are going to start construction next year on the West Side Recycled Water Project, which will take recycled water from our Oceanside wastewater plant and use it to irrigate Golden Gate Park, Harding Park, and part of the Presidio with. Golden Gate Park is currently irrigated with groundwater, and we're going to take that groundwater and also convert it to potable uses. So we're going to be using the right quality of water for the right use.
And again, that is Stephen Ritchie. He's Assistant General Manager of Water Enterprise. They're responsible for overseeing the water system operations and planning for the Hetch Hetchy Regional Water System, which serves 2.6 million residents throughout four Bay Area counties. When is this going into effect, Stephen?
Well, the groundwater, we should start to see the first groundwater come into the system late in 2016, maybe early 2017. It depends on the construction schedule. But that we expect then the West Side Recycled Water Project to be complete by 2019. So by then, we will have regularly 4 million gallons per day of groundwater coming into the drinking water supply.
And what's the main reasoning behind that?
Well, it's a good quality source. It's available and accessible to us, and it's also local. One of the things that I think we have all learned as water managers is diversifying your supply is an important thing to do. And yes, we do enjoy the delicious Hetch Hetchy supply, and it's generally reliable, but you know, it isn't there all the time. So we need to make sure that we're taking advantage of our local resources as well to make our supplies stretch as far as they can.
Well, we've got a number of callers on the line who want to weigh in about recycled water in California. Let's go to Riggs in L.A. Hi, Riggs. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on board, Rose.
Thanks for calling.
Well, we've got a really interesting situation in, as you were referring to, with produced water coming out of the formations deep below the aquifers. There's actually quite a lot of it. We estimate there's about 100 billion gallons a year available for irrigation. And as you said, Chevron's doing a good job with a pilot program, and that can be expanded.
You mean the pilot program selling wastewater to farmers?
Yes, they sell it to the local water district, and they've got an 8-mile pipeline. You know, the water, not all the water in the Kern River Valley is that the oil companies are bringing up is salty. And I agree with your guests that that the saline water is just the same as seawater, but there's a great deal of it that's actually pretty close to fresh and that can be recycled pretty easily.
How do they do that? Because a lot of people, when these reports came out, were very concerned that oil wastewater is being used to grow their fruits and vegetables.
Well, that's a legitimate concern. Chevron, I think, works hard to get it out. They use primarily walnut shells. You know, my company, Origin Clear, does work to try and reduce the amount of oil load up front and suspended solids. There's no question that the water's got to be clean, and but technologies are really adding up to reduce that amount of load on the water and make it easier to clean efficiently. It's all about cost versus the cost, you know, the cost of the process versus the benefit. A lot of this water coming out, you know, some of these wells are 35-to-1 water to oil ratio. It's huge amounts of water coming out, and there's no reason not to reuse it.
And the oil companies, are they using mostly fresh water?
Right. So the water that's coming out of formation is pretty close to fresh, depending on the formation it's coming out of.
Well, thank you for calling in. I was just checking out that LA Times piece about this, and State Senator Fran Pavley is sponsoring legislation that would require expanded testing of water produced in oil operations because so many citizens are concerned about water, oil water that's treated being used to grow fruits and vegetables. So we'll follow this. And thank you for calling in. Let's go next to Michael in San Francisco. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I have a question about using recycled water as irrigation in my lawn. And I know that a couple of East Bay cities have been doing it. And when I called San Francisco regarding this issue, and they were saying that Sacramento has some sort of legislation not allowing us to use it because it's recycled water, obviously. And I'm wondering, how can we change that in San Francisco, and how did the East Bay get around this or got around it?
I'm afraid, Michael, you may have been misinformed. The California law does allow irrigation of lawns with recycled water that has been treated to a tertiary level. In San Francisco, we just don't have the available distribution system to get water to your lawn, for example. But if it were available, it would be allowed to use and it would be safe to use.
All right. And is there a place where he can get more information on this?
Definitely. If you go to the website of the State Water Resources Control Board and search for recycled water regulations, you will see all the 43 uses that are allowed, including irrigation of lawns and landscaping.
Okay, thank you. And we'll put links on our website. Thanks for calling, Michael. Let's go next to Kelia in Oakland. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for calling in.
Fantastic. My pleasure. I have a comment to make. I lived in London over 20 years ago for a number of years. And I believe that London recycles water. It's rumored that the water we drink there has been through the toilet at least 5 times. And everyone seems pretty healthy there. And I also have a question for the experts. It's pretty funny.
Well, actually, let me ask you about this really quickly, because in a lot of the stories we're reading, public perception comes up. The public is a little uneasy about this. So can you talk about what you heard from, you know, friends and family in London who were drinking recycled water?
It didn't seem to be a problem. It just, it was kind of a little bit of a joke, you know, passing around, but it didn't seem to be a problem. People were used to it. And I feel that it's, you know, considering our ecology right now, it's an excellent idea.
And Bonin, you want to jump in on that point?
Sure. In London, the source of water for drinking is Thames River. And Thames River is definitely containing a lot of wastewater discharges upstream. It's similar to Colorado River coming to California, for example, containing wastewater discharges from many, many agencies upstream before it gets there. Just about everybody lives downstream of somebody else. So the water we drink, no matter where we are, is recycled water, whether we want to believe it or not. Now, the recycling that we are talking about here at this program is an institutional water recycling where it is done in a controlled fashion in a treatment plant where every process is monitored and sensors show the effectiveness of the treatment process, and it's a reliable source at the end, whereas nature does it in a lengthy, relaxed fashion, and it's not always as reliable as what we can produce. But in London, yes, they do drink recycled water, and it's nature's recycling.
Was there a government program?
Well, there is a government program, definitely, because that water goes through filtration and disinfection before it goes to the customers.
I was talking mainly about public perception. Was there some kind of outreach program to get people on board with this?
Not that I know of, because it is not intentional water recycling. It's water recycling that's done by nature. Thames River is containing a lot of discharged water from upstream communities.
Well, we have a related question from Rose in San Francisco, who says, why do we use the same water to flush the toilet that's also used to drink, cook, brush our teeth, etc.? It seems flushing the toilet is a perfect candidate for wastewater. Of course, the problem is everyone's plumbing would have to be redone. How difficult or impossible would this be?
It's not difficult. It's not impossible. It's being done in many new buildings that are built in Southern California, especially Irvine Ranch Water District was one of the first to do that, and now many entities do that. In fact, San Francisco's Public Utilities Commission building, new building, Steve can talk about that, I'm sure, at length, does that. The toilet flushing is done with recycled water that they recycle within their own plant. So it's doable.
Steve, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, we're seeing so many new buildings in the Bay Area. What measures are they taking?
Here in San Francisco, we actually have six projects that are actually operating. They're new buildings where you can do that dual kind of plumbing, and that's what makes it work. Going and retrofitting in the entire city with dual plumbing, that, you know, going back to it and trying to recreate it, that would be difficult. So we first adopted an ordinance in 2012 to basically say on-site water reuse in new buildings was a good and acceptable thing, and set a regulatory framework for it so that you could do it. We do it here in our building at 525 Golden Gate. That ordinance was just modified to expand to new buildings that are in what we call our reclaimed water use area. Anything bigger than 250,000 square feet needs to be constructed, operated, maintained, and using available alternate water sources, such as the black water from the building, you know, the raw sewage, or gray water from the building, or even collected rainwater. So we're pushing large new construction to be dual plumbed in a way that will take local recycled water.
Another caller wants to know about other challenges San Francisco might face, bringing up the fact that, you know, why are we allowing toilets to be flushed with pristine Hetch Hetchy water? Says San Francisco uses recycled water at golf courses, planning to use recycled water at Golden Gate Park. You mentioned that earlier. What other challenges does a city like San Francisco face, Steve?
Well, one of the big challenges in San Francisco is getting the recycled water to the use. You know, the West Side Project is going to pipe water to some of the large irrigated areas on the West Side. We already deliver recycled water to Harding Park Golf Course. But then Golden Gate Park, the Presidio, yeah, we're going to get water to those. To get beyond that, you have to, you know, try to find uses. And we don't have a lot of other uses on the west side, for example. On the east side, we have buildings that are being dual plumbed. And so long term, as part of our sewer program, there's going to be a recycled water project that will deliver water to those dual plumbed buildings. But that's a limited amount of use. We can probably only recycle about 4 million gallons a day in San Francisco of wastewater when it's used for non-potable uses. The real big ticket will be in the future if we decide that it's good to go to, again, direct potable reuse, where we treat it to a very high level and put it directly into the drinking water system, blending it with the Hetch Hetchy water. I think in the future at some point, not sure when, that is probably where we're ultimately headed.
That is Stephen Ritchie, Assistant General Manager of the Water Enterprise. It's responsible for overseeing operations and planning for the Hetch Hetchy Regional Water System, which serves 2.6 million residents throughout four Bay Area counties. We're also joined by Bonham Shake, a water resource and reuse specialist. He's a fellow at the Center for Integrated Water Research at UC Santa Cruz. And Eric Rosenblum is CEO of Enviro-Spectives, a Silicon Valley startup that provides online access to environmental information. He's an environmental engineer specializing in water resource management. Today, we continue our third week-long series on California's water crisis by talking about recycled water. In California, only a quarter of wastewater is treated, recycled, and reused. So what questions do you have about recycled water? What would you like to see? What are you seeing in your area if you work in this industry? We'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Let's talk about projects up and down the state that are grabbing your attention right now and that you would like to see other cities adopt. Eric, what are you seeing right now that's grabbing your attention?
Well, I think one of the things that surprised me is the extent to which individual industrial facilities are looking for ways to conserve water internally and to reuse their own wastewater in their processes. It's something that it does not require a lot of government involvement because it basically the industry produces the wastewater, and until they put it into the sewer, they can treat it and reuse it internally without permission from most anybody else. There are plumbing codes and certain restrictions on types of use, but basically from an industrial perspective, they can take that water and bring it back to the head end of their process and reuse it. And I find that a lot of industries are willing to do that. They look at the cost-benefit analysis. They have to find a return on investment. But there usually are a lot of ways that they can save money by reusing it, not just the cost of water, which I think everybody acknowledges is much lower than its real value. But in order to use water, they frequently have to treat it and heat it and add things to the water. And when you reuse your own water, you can sometimes take advantage of that, and the cost you have cost advantages. So I'm surprised the extent to which industries are willing to take up the challenge of reusing water internally.
Hmm. We did a show yesterday about pricing and the cost of water, and you can find that at yourcallradio.org. Why do you think industry is willing to take this on?
Well, in some cases, I think it's just an interest of being good corporate citizens and helping out in the community. In other places, especially for larger companies, I think there's a sense that they can't rely on public agencies anymore to provide them with all of the resources they need. It's kind of a double-edged perspective, but I have seen some larger companies basically building infrastructure to provide their own water supplies, including sometimes extending pipelines to wastewater plants to take the wastewater from communities and then use that treated water internally, simply because they want to have a drought-proof supply.
And Bauman, what are you seeing in other cities or, you know, anywhere in the state that's really exciting you right now, considering you've worked on this issue for over 30 years?
Well, my favorite project, of course, is the Monterey County agricultural use of recycled water, where 12,000 acres of vegetables, lettuce, broccoli, cauliflower, celery, artichokes, strawberries, are being grown with tertiary treated recycled water. And the produce is shipped all over the country, if not all over the world. In fact, 90% of the lettuce consumed in the country grows in that region, and a lot of that is irrigated with recycled water.
And how did that happen?
That happened after a fairly long 5-year pilot project. I was fortunate to be the project manager on that, and we grew the crops that they grow locally side by side, with irrigated with recycled water and irrigated with well water, the well water that they commonly use. And over the 5 years, we harvested the crop, we analyzed samples for microbial, for virus, for chemical constituents, and thousands of samples were tested over the 5-year period. And we basically saw no significant differences between crops grown with recycled water and those grown with well water. Mm. And farmers saw that, the health authorities saw that. The results were published, and everybody agreed this was a safe thing to do. And, of course, the farmers were also faced with seawater intrusion in their wells, and they were kind of between a rock and a hard spot in that way. And they accepted, and for the last 18 years, they've been using recycled water without any problems.
Hmm. And so do you see that program expanding? I'm sure you got interest from other farmers.
There is not enough water. There's not enough water. In fact, they are blending now some Salinas River water with the recycled water in order to be able to supply all the needs of the 12,000 acres. Hmm. They cannot expand.
And what about you, Steve? What are you seeing right now that we should know about?
Well, the most exciting project that I'm aware of is the Santa Clara Valley Water District effort with the city of San Jose to expand their water purification plant so that they can recharge about 45 million gallons per day of recycled water into the Santa Clara Valley groundwater basin. That basically is going to be producing a substantial potable supply of water that will be available for their customers, and we're hoping to be a partner in it so that our customers can share in that as well. But that project, they're pushing really hard and are hopeful of getting it online in 3 to 4 years.
All right. Well, thank you for those. Those are all really interesting projects. I'd love to learn more about that one, Bonham, about the fruits and the vegetables. In terms of wastewater, you talked earlier about farmers and how they see this. Did that change their perception of using wastewater, that project?
It's changed 180 degrees. Some of those skeptical farmers are now saying that without recycled water, there would not be agriculture in northern Monterey County. They depend on it. And one of them has a YouTube clip that I would love everybody to look at. His name is Dale Huss. If you go to YouTube and search for Dale Huss, you'll see his testimony right there in the fields talking about how important recycled water has been to the survival of agriculture in San Ynez Valley.
How do you spell his last name?
Huss, H-U-S-S.
Okay, thank you for that. We've got just a couple of minutes left. We had another listener write in about the ick factor of recycled water and customers preferring recycled water to feed into a lake from whence drinking water is taken. What do you think of that? This is getting more attention now. Do you feel like public perception on this issue is shifting, Bonham?
It's shifting, definitely. I mean, the Orange County Water District has shown to the world that it can shift dramatically. San Diego has shown that it can shift dramatically. There was big opposition to putting recycled water in San Vicente Reservoir in San Diego County, and the mayor, the city council, they were all up against it 10, 15 years ago when it was first proposed. Now they have changed 180 degrees and they're willing to do it. I think with public education, that shift will come all over California, all over the world, in fact.
Mm. Eric, final thoughts from you?
We saw an example of that shift in the report from the National Academy of Sciences a few years ago. They had previously looked at recycled water for drinking purposes and considered it to be a last resort. They reconsidered that in 2011, I believe, and came to the conclusion when they looked at all the other available supplies that it really was a question of, do we want to do intentional water recycling or, as Bauman mentioned earlier, simply unintentionally reuse river water that's already been contaminated with wastewater without really thinking about what we're doing.
And Steve, final thoughts, about 30 seconds.
As this drought extends, we are going to have to get more and more serious about recycling more and more water. We're preparing for that because we have to assume this drought is going to keep on going. So we should really be working hard at extending all of our water resources. And recycled water is a really key one of those. It's the one reliable supply we have.
Steve Ritchie is Assistant General Manager of Water Enterprise, responsible for overseeing water system operations for the Hetch Hetchy Regional Water System. Eric Rosenblum is an environmental engineer and CEO of EnviroSpectives. They provide online access to environmental information. And Bauman Shake is a water resource and reuse specialist. He's a fellow at the Center for Integrated Water Research at UC Santa Cruz. And thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. How would reducing our intake of meat and dairy affect California's water supply? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation about the meat and dairy industries, which make up 47% of California's water footprint. A pound of beef requires over 1,800 gallons of water to produce. California Governor Jerry Brown recently said, we should eat more veggie burgers. So what if we ate veggie burgers instead of hamburgers? And does it make sense for California to be the nation's largest dairy state? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Nock Nguyen produces the show, Malihe Razazan is senior producer, and Matt Martin is executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.